today is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 27, 28, and 29. I left off speaking to you last week how that Isaac blessed Esau with an inferior blessing in comparison to the blessing that Jacob had received from him. And Esau, he cried with a very bitter cry, thinking by crying in this way that he could more or less work upon his father, that his father would give him a blessing also as he had given unto Jacob. But Isaac had been so led by the Spirit of God when he was blessing Jacob that he could not turn the blessing to a curse. He had to leave the blessing stand. And Esau, when he realized what he had lost, how that he had sold his birthright, and how that in and through that deal he had lost the blessing, therefore he wept with a bitter cry. Now this teaches us, my hearers, that there's a time coming when those who slight the invitations of the gospel, who pay no attention to them, who consider them but trifles, inferior matters, there's a time coming when such poor creatures will do just like Esau. When they will be gathered together in the day of judgment, then they will weep with a lamentable cry. When they see God's people entering in and being blessed eternally, and they themselves turned out, then they likewise will be suitors after Jesus. They will plead that he would bless them also, but it will be forever too late. Oh, how many, I am afraid, will experience this in the great day of accounts. And now we find that Esau had no true repentance. It says that he wept with a bitter cry. He wept to try to impose upon his father. He didn't weep because he had done wrong, or that he had done evil. He had no true repentance, but he was filled with hatred, it says, against Jacob. And he purposed in his heart to kill Jacob. This is where Esau came. Hatred is an awful thing, my hearers. It leads to death in many instances. People are carried away by anger, by rage, by malice. And they do things when they are filled in this passion that they never would do if they were not wrought upon by the devil to do these things. Or a man that is filled with hatred is just like a man that's standing upside down on his head. He sees everything wrong. He don't see things right. And it's an awful thing to be in the hands of Satan and to be carried away by these passions which every one of us have. Do nothing when you are in this state, my hearers, because you never know where you might wind up in. And now Esau, he couldn't keep his mouth shut. He began to talk about what he was going to do to his brother Jacob. And of course this came to the ears of Rebekah. And when she heard that he was purposing to kill Jacob, she called Jacob to her. And she says, concerning you, she says, Esau, he's comforting himself because he's got his mind set to kill you. And now she says to him, she says, you better flee. You better go to my brother Laban's house and remain there until I send for you, until the hatred and the wrath of your brother Esau is subdued. And then Rebekah, she went to Isaac, and she said to Isaac, I am weary of my life, she says, because of the daughters of Heth, the two women that Esau had married. And she says, if Jacob marries one from this country, from the land of Canaan, what good will my life be? Therefore, she desired that Isaac would allow Jacob to go to her brother's house and there seek a wife for himself. And Isaac, he consented to this. And now this teaches us another lesson, my hearers, that these two wives that Esau had, they more or less made Rebekah feel so downhearted that she felt, what was the use of living? To have two women like this around me, they had no fear of God in them. They were heathen women. And for her son to be married to something like that, that broke her heart to pieces. This teaches us that when we enter into the steed of marriage, how necessary that we seek God in this respect. In the Old Testament time, you know, most of the fathers, they gave their daughters away in marriage. To run away and to get married without their consent and without their permission was a great curse. And now Esau, he went ahead and disobeyed his parents and married these two heathen women. And therefore, they were a grief to Rebekah. Now, this is not always the case in life, my hearers, because you might have had a son or a daughter, and they likewise married somebody against your wishes and against your desires. But the marriage turned out to be a success. In fact, it turned out to be a blessing. It may have been that the partner that your daughter or your son married was wrought upon by the Spirit of God and began to lead a different life even than the child that you had been so concerned about. God is wonderful and mysterious in the ways that he works in the hearts of sinners. And now Jacob, he had to flee for his life. He had to leave his parental home. He had to leave his mother, who he loved and she loved very much, and never would he see her anymore alive. This now was the cause of sin. Rebekah had conceived this and had proposed this, and now in and through her sin, she had to send Jacob away for fear of his life, and she had to lose his companionship and his love. And now we find that Isaac, he calls Jacob to him, and he blesses Jacob and speaks to him and says that he should go to the house of his mother's brother, Bethuel, a Laban, and there seek a wife for himself, and not take a wife of the daughters of the land in which they lived. And he said, God Almighty bless thee and be with thee and make thee fruitful, and bless thy seed, that thou may become a great nation, and give thee the blessing of Abraham, that thou may possess this land which was promised to Abraham, and likewise to Isaac. And now when Esau heard Isaac blessing his son Jacob and sending him away, and realizing that he had done his parents so much hurt by marrying these two women, he went to Ishmael, and he took of Ishmael one of his daughters and married her, thinking that he would please his father Isaac with this marriage. This was the third wife that Esau took. And now we find Jacob, he's leaving his father's home, and he comes to a place and the sun has begun to set. And he decides to go to sleep in this place. And he takes of the stones of that place and he makes a pillow for his head and he decides to go and lay down here. Now this young man was fleeing then because he had done his brother deceitfully out of the birthright, and he had also imposed upon his father, and his life was at stake. Here he then was fleeing because of his sins and because of his iniquities. And he's laying here on the ground in this isolated place, and the heavens are the canopy over his head, the earth is his bed, and the stones is his pillow, all alone. But yet not all alone. No matter where we may go, and we may think we are alone, there's a God in heaven that has his eye upon us. And he had his eye upon Jacob. Although Jacob did not know this God and did not fear this God and love this God, still this God loved him, which he did not know. And Jacob, he laid himself down to sleep. And as he slept, he had a dream. And in this dream, he seen a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it which reached unto heaven. And he seen angels going up and down on this ladder. And above this ladder, there stood the Lord. And he began to speak unto Jacob, and said unto him, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land upon which thou liest, I will give it unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And thou shalt spread out to the east and to the west, to the north and to the south. And thou shalt become a multitude of people. And I will be with thee, and I will keep thee in the way that thou goest, and I will bless thee, and I will fulfill what I am speaking unto thee. I will not leave thee until I have brought thee back again and fulfilled the words that I have spoken to thee. Now this man then had a dream. You know, the people of the East, they paid particular attention to dreams. We find in the scriptures that there were two men, the butler and the baker. They both had a dream. And they were anxious to know the interpretation of the dream. And Joseph was in prison, and they asked Joseph for the interpretation of it. And now we find likewise that Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream. And Daniel was called in to interpret that dream. But Joseph, he had many prophetic dreams. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was to come into this world, and we find Joseph, who was married to Mary, ready to leave her because he had thought that she had played the harlot. But the Lord came to Joseph in a dream and warned him that he should take Mary to be his wife, for that which was coming forth out of her would be the Son of God. God in many ways revealed his divine will by dreams. The Israelites, they were not permitted to go to those who interpreted dreams. God forbid them to do so, unless it was a divine dream. They were to go to God's prophets, and they were to interpret for them the word of God, and not to these people that meant that they could give them an interpretation of dreams. And now dreams, my hearers, are those fancies that you and I also have. They are the work of the mind. The Bible says that a dream comes through being busy too much with certain things. And now the dreams that you and I have, sometimes they make us afraid, and we're filled with terror. And when we awake, we're only too glad it was a dream. Then again, sometimes we have a nice, pleasant, and a sweet dream, and then we're sorry when we awake. But our dreams, they don't mean much. They are but vanity. But these dreams, they were divine dreams, because God appeared in this dream unto Jacob, and God spake unto him. And how wonderful this must have been to this young man. For God promised to make of him a great nation. And God promised likewise that he would be with him and that he would keep him. Oh, my hearers, what a blessing for God to promise that he will be with us. Why, if he will be with us, we shall experience his love, we shall experience his favor, his kindness, his goodness, his care, his protection. Wouldn't you want this God to be with you? Just think what it is if God is not with us. Then we are in the clutches of Satan. We are under the dominion of sin. And we are far from God by wicked works. And God is our enemy. Oh, what an awful thing if God is not with us. All my hearers, do seek an interest in this God. And if you have an interest in him, you are safe for time and for eternity. I will be with thee, he says to Jacob. And did God keep this promise? Most assuredly. When Jacob went to Laban, he was kept, and he arrived there safely. While he abode with Laban, which was 20 years, 14 years he served him for his two daughters, and 6 years he served him for his cattle, God was with him. God blessed him. God multiplied his seed, and God made him fruitful, and God gave him many natural blessings. And when he left Laban's house, then God likewise was with him. He protected him, for he appeared unto Laban in a dream, who was ready to do him hurt, and he would not allow Laban to touch Jacob. And then when Esau came with 400 men, wasn't God with Jacob? Didn't he protect him? He made Esau fall on his neck and kiss him. And when Jacob came to the end of his life and he was laying on his deathbed, God fulfilled, I will be with thee. And he kept him even to the day of his death. The angel of the covenant, he says, that redeemed me. And then he cried out, I have waited for thy salvation. Jacob then was kept under the providential and under the spiritual care of this great God. I will be with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. How many people have had something like that in their life? Has God ever come to you with a promise like this? I will be with thee. Oh, how rich you are if you have this God with you. My hearers, he will be with you throughout all the years that you live here, and he will be with you in the article of death. He will carry you safely to heaven above. And now this man, Jacob, he is a type of every child of God. God said that he would be with him whithersoever he would go, in what places he would come into. And now it may have been that in your lifetime and past, God has appeared to you. God has promised maybe to be with you. But at this particular time, you may be saying, I can't believe that God is with me. You're afraid. Sin seems to have the upper hand. Unbelief prevails over your soul. You're in darkness. You find no access, no nearness to God. You're so carnal. You're so worldly. You're so filled with filthy and vile and polluted thoughts. You think, however could God be with such a creature like me? Sin seems to have the upper hand, and you think you're surely going to perish. Is that your state? Is that your condition? Do you fear that everything is wrong? We get into some places, my hearers, and whithersoever places thou goest, I will be with thee. And God is with you, even though you may not realize it, and may not have his sensible presence in your heart. Still, he is with you, or we get into some awful places. Sometimes the devil seems to get the upper hand. He shoots his arrows at us, and he tells us we're all wrong. Your religion is all wrong. You only had it in your mind. You never had it in your heart. And sometimes we believe the devil. We give ear to him. But a God never leaves his dear children when they're in them states. He always comes to them. And what does he do? He may raise up such a spirit of prayer in your heart that you may be given to tell him your distress, just what's the matter with you, and how easy it is to tell him then when he gives you to do it. Oh, you find access, you find comfort, you find there's somebody that you're leaning upon that you can cast your burden upon. Have you ever had that? Then God has been with you. He may give you a word which just suits the case in which you were in. Oh, he never leaves nor forsakes his people. He never left Jacob, as I described to you. I will be with thee and will keep thee in all places whithersoever thou goest, and I will not leave thee until I have performed the word that I have spoken unto thee. Has he spoken to you so? Can you remember that he spoke to you? Maybe you can't. Maybe you think he never spoke to you. Maybe you thought it was just something that flashed through your mind. But when it did, didn't it humble your heart? Didn't it melt your heart to pieces? Can't you remember something like that in your lifetime that broke you down and gave you to believe that it wasn't just your mind, it wasn't just you, but it was something that came from God? And at times, you're brought back to those things, and you wonder whether you ever will have the fulfillment of it. God will certainly keep his word. Just as he said to Jacob, I will not leave thee until I have fulfilled the promise that I have given unto you. All my hearers, this must have been a wonderful thing for this young man, Jacob. For God most certainly did keep what he had said unto Jacob. And when Jacob awoke out of his sleep, then Jacob said, how dreadful is this place. For God is in this place, and I knew it not. This is none other, he says, but a house of God. Have you ever had something like that in your life? You know, these aren't fancies. These are truths, my hearers. This is something that God's people pass through in their lifetime. This isn't just something that we're supposed to read and pass over. No. Now this man met God. Have you ever met God in your life? Has God ever manifested himself by his Spirit, by his Word in your heart when you were in prayer, when you were alone, when you were reading his Word, when you came to the house of prayer? Has God ever spoken to you? Has he ever melted you down? My hearers, these are realities. They take place, and I wish they would take place in every one of your hearts. Believe me. And when this takes place, then you're like Jacob. Then you say, how dreadful is this place? You're filled with awe. You're filled with reverence. You're brought near to God. You realize his presence and his existence round about you, which you never had before. And then God becomes a reality, my hearers. Has he ever become that to you? He isn't just a word of three letters, but he is a living God, and he gives life wherever he may descend. How dreadful is this place? Some people have had a manifestation of God in his wrath, in his anger. He sent his law into their hearts. And oh, they begin to tremble. They begin to fear. They think they're going to die and they're going to go to hell. They're so filled with awe before him who speaks so powerfully through his law. My hearers, what a mercy to experience something like Jacob. We have here an example, my hearers, of the grace of God. We have here an example that there is such a thing as election. God says in his word, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. You believe that? A lot of people don't. A lot of people turn. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to hear about it. Do you? Do you love the doctrine of election? Why, my hearers, it's like a sunbeam from the beginning of the Bible to the end. You can't deny it. And whoever he may be, minister or what he may be, if he denies this doctrine, you may take it from me, he never was sent from God, because he's never been taught it himself. We have here a man by the name of Jacob. What did he do? Did Jacob merit this meeting of God? Was there anything good in Jacob that he deserved that God should meet him at this place? What had he done back home? He deceived his brother. He deceived his father. And he had to flee because he was going to be killed. And here we find this man lying in this place, and God comes to him. Oh, my hearers, the sovereignty of this great God, that he loved this man, that he came to this man, that he manifested himself to this man, he spake to this man, he promised this man that he would be with him. Not for anything in Jacob, you may be sure of that. It was purely the work of God only that manifested himself in this case to Jacob. Have you ever had something like that in your life? Oh, what a wonderful thing this is, my hearers. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. If me and you look at the two men, we would like Esau better than Jacob. But that isn't the way it is with God. God is free who he loves, who he chooses. He made choice of this young man. He came to this young man. He spake to him, and he proved to this man that he was his God and that he would be with him. All my hearers, there may be some listening to me that have had something like that. You know, if you never had it, you don't know nothing about it. It's all Greek to you. We are all sinners. We're all travelers to eternity. And now God has a purpose of love and of mercy to you. He comes to you in your life. He comes into your heart with his Spirit. He begins to teach you what a sinner you are. Well, you say that wasn't here with Jacob. I don't read nothing like that. Oh, my hearers, you may be sure that Jacob, after he awoke out of that dream, was so deeply humbled before that God. And so it is when God comes to a person in his life. Oh, what a change takes place in that person. Have you ever had a Bethel meeting? Has God ever come to you? Has he ever shed his love abroad in your heart? Has he ever promised you anything out of his precious word? Has he time and again manifested his favor toward you in his love? Against all your sins, against all your rebellion, against all your backslidings, against all your enmity that you show against him in his word, he remained faithful to you. Why? Because you were one of his elect vessels of mercy. Because he has given himself away to you, and he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Oh, my hearers, what a blessing to have something like this in this life. And we find that when Jacob awoke and realized that this was none other but a house of God, he takes them stones that he was laying on with his head, and he raises them up, and he makes them a pillar, and he pours oil upon them. And he called the name of that place Bethel. And he said, if God will be with me, and he will give me bread to eat and things to put on, and he will bring me again back to my father's house, he says, then this Lord will be my God. He made a vow that if God kept what he had said to him, then this Lord would be his God. Have you ever done that? Has God ever come to you? Has he ever given you anything? Has he ever helped you out in time of need? Have you ever cried to him in your trouble and your fear and your anxiety? And all he came, he put away all your fears. He did better than what you asked him for. And when that happened, why, you raised up a monument there. You said, I'll never forget this. This was so wonderful. This was of God. You raise up a memorial, and you can go back to that place. And when that takes place, my hearers, you do just like Jacob did. What did he do? He made a vow. He said, if God will be with me and keep me wherever I go and bring me back again, then he will be my God. And I'm sure if you have done that, you may have regretted that you made that vow. But you'll never regret it, my hearers, that this God, who you long to know as your God, has visited you. Oh, I'm sure you would make such a vow too, and you would say, well, this Lord will be my God. And so it was with Jacob. And then we find that Jacob, he went into the country of the east. And when he came into the country of the east, he saw a well in the field. And there were flocks gathered around this well, and men taking care of their sheep. And when he came there, he asked them if they knew somebody by the name of Laban. Oh, yeah, they said, we know him. Here comes his daughter. He's coming with the sheep. She's going to bring the sheep down to the well. Now, it may have been the same well that this servant of Abraham had been by, because it was right near Laban's house. And now we find that Jacob, he asked them why that they didn't water the sheep. Well, they said, we wait until all the flocks come, and then we take the stone off the well's mouth, and then we water the sheep together, and then we put the stone back on again. What was that for? Well, you know, they have so many storms over there, and the sand blows so terrific that all the sand sometimes goes right down into the well. So they don't take the stone off until all the sheep are around the well, and then they water the sheep together, and then they put the stone back on again so that this well wouldn't be filled with sand. But now when he's seen Rachel coming, and then he immediately ran and he took the stone off the well's mouth, and he watered Laban's flock. And he went to Rachel and he kissed her, and he told her that he was a son of her father's sister. Laban was her father, and Rebecca, she was the daughter of Bethuel. Laban and Rebecca were sister and brother. And when she heard that, she ran back to the house and she told Laban that there was Jacob, and he was a son of his sister Rebekah. And he ran down to the well, and he met him, and he kissed him. And he took him to his house. And Jacob must have told him everything, what had happened. And we find that Jacob abode in his house for the space of a month. Jacob went in and out with Laban. He went into the fields and he worked with him. And now Laban, he said, well, should I let you work for nothing, even though you may be my sister's son? Name what you want. Tell me your wages and I'll give it to you. Well, he says, I'll stay with you 7 years, he says, if you'll give me Rachel, your youngest daughter, for wife. Well, Laban says, that's a deal. Who could I give it to better than you? All right, he says, you stay here and work here 7 years, and then you shall have Rachel for wife. And now this man, Jacob, he loved this woman, Rachel. And this Laban, he had two daughters. Leah, she was tender-eyed, but Rachel, she was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob, he had his eye on her beauty and her well-favoredness. And therefore, he loved her. So he stayed by Laban 7 years, it says. And those 7 years, they went by just like nothing. It was just like it wasn't anything to him for the love that he had to Rachel. Now we have here an example of what natural love is, even, my hearers. If ever you've experienced something of this love in your life, even natural love, then your heart is taken in and you have everything over for the person that you love. And it's just like by Jacob. The 7 years, they just flew by. And so it was that the time came that he was to receive his wife. Now, my hearers, if God ever sheds his love abroad in your soul, now that's a wonderful thing. And then it'll be with you just like it was with Jacob. And then no service will be too hard. And then you will find that God will be with you, and God will help you, and God will bless you. Oh, what a mercy it is to be born again, to have his love shed abroad in our hearts, and to be brought into his service. Now we sing, and I say it so many times, and it's so true, the service of our Lord affords us more pleasure than sinful ways afford. Why? Because there's love in that service. Our love goes out to God. We have everything over for that God. Oh, how sad it is when we don't have this love in exercise, and we find an opposite principle in us, an unbelief coming up in us and telling us that if you love this God, you wouldn't live the way you do. You wouldn't act the way you do. You wouldn't talk the way you do. But that doesn't change the love on God's side. He remains the same. And now, this Jacob, he labored 7 years. It was just like a dream to him. And now I would refer you to the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world seeking his bride. And there was nothing too hard for him. Oh, what he went through for his bride. And all of you may be given to believe that you are one of them for whom he came into this world. And then you will sink away before the matchless love of this precious Jesus, and what he did for your immortal soul. Oh, that this love may fill your heart and my heart, and that the love of Christ may constrain us to forsake all things and to walk in his ways and to be obedient to his word. My time is gone. The Lord willing, we'll pick up the lesson at this point next week. That's all for today.